fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African football. A flock of eagles, the Eagles of Mali and the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia, have spread their wings and officially qualified for the 2022 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon. In Group A of Nations Cup qualifying, Mali booked its ticket and moved to the top of the table with a 2-1 victory over host Namibia. Sekou Koita and Moussa Doumbia scored first-half goals for Mali, while Elmo Kembindu had Namibia's goal. Mali now has 10 points from 4 qualifiers. Guinea has 8 points. Namibia has 3 points. And Chad, with 1 point, has been eliminated. In Group J, Tunisia is through to the Nations Cup Finals after a 1-1 draw with host Tanzania in Dar es Salaam. The Carthage Eagles of Tunisia got on the scoreboard first on a goal by Saif Edine Kawi in the 11th minute. Tanzania equalized early in the second half on a goal by substitute Faisal Salem. The Tunisians remained unbeaten in Group J and now have 3 wins, 1 draw, and 10 points. Equatorial Guinea has 6 points, Tanzania has 4 points, and Libya has 3 points. In more Nations Cup qualifying results on Tuesday, 7-time African champion Egypt beat host Togo 3-1. The Pharaohs of Egypt join surprise package Comoros on top of Group G with 8 points each. Mohamed Magdi, Mohamed Sharif, and Trezeguet had the goals for the Egyptians. In Group L, the matches between Sierra Leone and Nigeria and Lesotho and Benin both ended in scoreless draws. Nigeria now tops the group with 8 points, followed by Benin with 7 points, Sierra Leone with 3 points, and Lesotho with 2 points.
Sporty greetings, this is Victor Osimhen, Super Eagles of Nigeria and Napoli FC forward. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
You might say my cup runneth over with Nations Cup qualifying results. Just an avalanche of Nations Cup fixtures over the past week. In Group C on Tuesday, Sudan stunned visiting Ghana 1-0. On a late goal by Mohamed Abdel Rahman, the victory in Omdurman revived Sudan's hopes of qualifying for the Nations Cup. Ghana and South Africa are now level at the top of the group with 9 points from 4 qualifiers. Sudan has 6 points, and Sao Tome and Principe, with no points, has officially been eliminated. In Group F, Rwanda and visiting Cape Verde played to a scoreless draw in Kigali. In Group K, Ethiopia beat visiting Niger 3-0. And host Madagascar and Ivory Coast drew 1-1. Now, this is a very tight group after 4 qualifiers. Ivory Coast and Madagascar are at the top with 7 points each. Ethiopia has 6 points and Niger has 3 points. I'm Sonny Young and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In Group E, the Atlas Lions of Morocco moved closer to qualifying for the Nations Cup with a 2-0 victory against the Central African Republic. The match was played in Douala, Cameroon. The Moroccans now have 10 points from 4 qualifiers. Mauritania is next with 5 points, followed by Burundi with 4 points, and Central African Republic with 3 points. Finally, in Group D, the Democratic Republic of Congo edged host Angola 1-0 on a second-half goal by substitute Niskins Kibano. This is another tight group. Gambia and Gabon are at the top with 7 points. The DRC has 6 points, and Angola is at the bottom with 1 point. Let's take a short break now for this musical programming note by my VOA colleague, Heather Maxwell.
Hello. This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Many African boys and girls dream of one day becoming a professional football player. For most of these African dreamers, a professional career is a long shot. But for some dedicated dreamers who work hard and have good coaches and good contacts, their dreams can come true. The Right to Dream Academy in Ghana has been recognized as one of the best academies in Africa. For more than a decade, it's consistently produced players for the professional game, as well as student athletes for top-class academic institutions. Joining us now from Accra to tell us more is Yao Afusu-Larbi. Sporty greetings, Yao.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. The Right to Dream Academy is not just a place of football. It is an institution. Most academies in Ghana run only on a football module where basic skills like communication, temperament and character are left unchecked. But the Right to Dream Academy has gone against the norm, teaching young footballers the games and in many cases skills for when they decide that football might not be in their best interests. For this reason, a lot of attention is placed on developing talents as well as character of players. The academy's new CEO, Eddie Mensah, explains the importance of the academy's approach.
So we're trying to produce what I call change makers, right, through football. And so my hope for the next few years is for us to continue to do that on a much larger scale. How do we create folks who come out of this institution willing to make a big impact in the football world, but also within their own communities?
Mensah worked for years in the United States educational circuits, and most recently at the Charlotte Preparatory School before he moved to Ghana to take up the role. Mensah says the unity among staff at the academy has been one of the major hallmarks to their success.
You know, having resources are helpful for, but the other thing that's really important I find here is the people, the dedication that you find for people who are willing to put in the time and the work. If you give them the right tools to give you excellent products, right? And so it's good that we have nice fields, but there are some people who get here at 5, 6 a.m. to make sure that it's really properly manicured.
In light of hitting the right notes and selecting only the best, former Ghana international Derek Boateng was brought in to augment the scouting department. Boateng says doing this for the kids gives him unbridled joy.
To go around to find these kids is really, really nice for me, because during my career, when I was playing, I know I came from a difficult situation, you know, and after moving to Europe, I thought that kind of things are not there anymore until I started scouting. And if I tell you the places we go and find some of these kids, it's really, really sad. A lot of them, their background is really, really bad, you know. It's not pretty at all. So for us to find them and bring them here and to do what they really love to do is everything to me, you know.
The Right to Dream Academy has been in Ghana for over a decade. 10 years of increasing the football talent pool in Ghana. 10 years of unmatched quality. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Fosilabi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight? Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. On the Voice of America. In women's football, one of the biggest stories of the year took place at the end of June. Australia and New Zealand were awarded the hosting rights to the 2023 Women's World Cup. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2020, we're joined once again by my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Some welcome news for women's soccer. The FIFA Council announced Australia and New Zealand have won their bid to host the Women's World Cup tournament in 2023. Council members voted 22-13 in favor of the joint bid over rival Colombia. FIFA President Gianni Infantino announced the results from Switzerland in a public address on FIFA TV, and he said the new appointment continues the progress of women's football following the global success of last year's Women's World Cup in France. Infantino also pledged to award $1 billion over the next 4 years towards the advancement of women's soccer, and he revealed Australia and New Zealand will host an expanded upcoming tournament.
We experienced these days last year in France a fantastic Women's World Cup, the best Women's World Cup ever, which broke all the records, more than 1 million spectators in the stadiums, 1 billion all over the globe, and it has brought women's football to a truly global stage. We want to continue with that and in the path, and for this, the FIFA Council has already decided that as of 2023, as of the World Cup 2023, there will be 32 national teams participating instead of 24. So it will become even more global and having a much bigger positive impact on the development of women's football. For this bidding process, which was highly competitive, there were two bidders at the end, Australia, New Zealand, and Colombia. I would like to thank both of them for their remarkable work. It was really, really well prepared. Congratulations to both of them.
The joint victory marks the first time a Women's World Cup will be hosted by more than one country. The unified bid, which the two countries have dubbed as one, was installed as a strong favorite to host the 2023 tournament. Just hours before the vote, Australia's Sydney Opera House was lit up in unity colors, blue, green, and gold, in anticipation of the Women's World Cup coming to the region for the first time. After hearing the news of her country's successful campaign, New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian no doubt expressed the mood of the entire nation.
I want to really say that Australia and New Zealand will turn it on for the rest of the world, and hopefully by 2023 the pandemic will be behind us well and truly, and the world will have its eyes focused here on Australia and New Zealand, and I couldn't be happier.
And New Zealand football CEO Andrew Pragnell emphasized that hosting the tournament will give a boost to women's soccer in the Asian and Oceania confederations.
We knew that, it was a tournament of firsts. We knew that by bringing Oceania and Asia together, we were going to do something that had never been done before and could leave a real legacy. So we thought we had a compelling bid. Both countries have good positive reputations within FIFA, and so we relied on that, and fortunately it came true.
Ahead of the vote, Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison and his New Zealand counterpart Jacinda Ardern wrote an open letter to FIFA that promised the two countries would host a tournament to be proud of. The opening ceremony of the 9th Women's World Cup tournament is scheduled to take place at Auckland's Eden Park on July 10th, 2023. The final match will be played in Sydney Stadium, Australia, 1 month later. Back over to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten.
Yo, yo, yo. Funny greetings, man. I'm Evelyn Akato, forward for the Tigress Nigerian Women's National Team and Flams Carolo Basket. Bonjour, bonjour, my people. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contacting COVID-19. Thank you so much.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Thanks, Tatiana. Tatiana McFadden will definitely be one of the medal favorites at next year's Paralympics in Tokyo. The Paralympics for athletes with disabilities are scheduled from August 24th to September 5th, 2021. Now, the Paralympics will open 16 days after the Olympics close in the Japanese capital. As we look ahead to the Tokyo Games, one of the big athletic questions, will Kenyan star Eliud Kipchoge be able to successfully defend his Olympic gold medal in the men's marathon? The apparently invincible Kipchoge suffered his first marathon defeat in 7 years at last month's London Marathon. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to the post-race report from the energetic Andy Edwards.
There is plenty of evidence to say that this is not necessarily the end of Eliud Kipchoge's dominance of the marathon. However, his rivals are going to view him from a different perspective after Sunday's defeat. All credit to the Ethiopian Shuri Kitata, an experienced performer, for seizing his chance and displaying his finishing speed to beat the Kenyan Vincent Chepchumba in the home straight. But the headline story was Kipchoge trailing home in eighth place in what was, for him, the modest time of 2:06:49, his first marathon loss since Berlin 7 years ago at the hands of Kenenisa Bekele. Eliud Kipchoge had no complaints about his preparation, despite the restrictions imposed by the pandemic, but he did talk of how a blocked ear affected him late in the race, and then came cramp in the legs.
I'm truly disappointed because I always wanted to win. I always want to win to show people that you can always win if you focus yourself and always get good results. But I'm sorry for this. But all in all, that's how sport is. I'm going back to the drawing board, But hopefully I'll come next year, yeah, in London or to the Olympic Games. I know it's not the end of the world.
The leading Kenyan turned out to be not the Olympic champion and world record holder, but Vincent Kipchumba, an experienced and high-quality athlete, certainly. He lost a home straight sprint to the Ethiopian Shoei Kitata, who won in 2:05.41, his first major marathon win. Kipchumba's plan was realised, but with a big surprise as a bonus.
I had a plan of to run the last maybe 1 kilometre, to run maybe to break that group. I responded early, the way I was not imagined to kick that early, so that to finish at the first place. I was not expecting to be maybe in that position or to run a second place, because we had a champion and a legend, Eliud Kipchoge, but I'm very happy.
Third place went to the Ethiopian Cisse Lema, only 4 seconds behind the top two. Now, for anyone spending any time running or walking outside in London on this Sunday morning, it did feel hard in the wind and rain. Not extreme, but it was enough to tax athletes in prime condition.
Today weather, the wind and the rain is very difficult for all of the the athletes, because no good for athletes. The rain, the water on the way.
As for the women's race, the world record holder Bridget Koskay looked assured in retaining her London title, breaking away from the world champion and fellow Kenyan Ruth Chepngetich at 30 kilometres, and that's often a key point in marathon racing. Koskay won in 2:18.58, over 4 minutes outside her astonishing world record in Chicago last October, but this was no day for record breaking.
Due to corona, we have not prepared well, and then weather affects us. There is some wind and there is rain all the way, so it makes us our muscles to be compact. So no warm, no body becoming warm. So it's difficult for us to finish. And then I try my best up to I finish good.
It's been 14 years since an American woman has stood on the podium of the London Marathon, and there would have been few who predicted that Sarah Hall would break the African dominance this year. But here she was, running a personal best of 2:22.01 and overtaking the world champion Chepngetich in the home straight, having made up a 40-second deficit with just over 2 kilometres left. As Sarah Hall reflected, it was redemption after failing to make the U.S. Olympic marathon team.
I was fighting that whole way, just catching people and seeing the world champion there in the last lap. That definitely motivated me to give it my all, and I'm still kind of in shock, to be honest.
As for Chepngetich, she finished third in 2:22.05 and felt she couldn't have done any more on the day given the conditions.
Because of the weather, this weather of raining, it was tough for me, personally. Yeah, it was tough.
Talk of where Eliud Kipchoge goes from this first marathon defeat in 7 years will continue, of course. He talked about going back to the drawing board, and to be realistic, any great champion, and Eliud certainly is one, can have an off day. For the past 6 years, he has been the boss of the men's marathon, psychologically dictating simply by his presence. Will that continue? Well, only his next marathon performance can provide the answer. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in London.
Thanks, Andy. More African football news. The final two rounds of qualifying matches for the 2022 Africa Cup of Nations tournament will be played in March 2021. And then we'll know the 24 teams that will compete in African football's premier event. So far, 5 teams have officially booked their tickets. Cameroon earned an automatic berth as the host. Algeria, Senegal, Mali, and Tunisia have also qualified. And that wraps up the November 18th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation of the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's Newsmaker Interview Program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC. VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.